Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Acts 16, go to verse 16, very familiar passage of scripture. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. Interesting, in the Greek, it's a python spirit. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. Verse 17, she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved." Is that true? Is that true? It is. It's true. This went on, verse 18, until Paul got so exasperated, irritated, says another version, that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out." If you felt a little bit of a jerk right then, welcome to Kings. We're so glad you're here. And it instantly, how did it leave? It instantly left her. Her master's hope of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and begged them before the authorities at the market and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. And the whole city was in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted to the city officials. "They're teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." And a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. The city officials ordered them to be stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer ordered to make sure that they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. How many prisoners? Every prisoner. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." Verse 29, the jailer called for the lights, and they ran into the dungeon, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you should be saved, along with everyone in your household." Then they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized, and he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Next morning, the city officials sent the police to go tell it to the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." But Paul replied, "They publicly beat us without a trial and put us in prison, and we're all Roman citizens. We are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves and release us." I love that. They knew their rights. When the police reported this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail, apologized to them, and they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia, the life group leader. Then they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. Let's pray. Father, move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd encourage you to take notes. We've been doing a series on Reformation and Reformers. It's sort of unofficial series we've fallen into. I've preached two of those. Pastor Tim preached a powerful message a week or so ago on that. And I want to share with you some secrets on how to be victorious in your life, how to walk in such a way that you overcome all your obstacles. It's an attitude beyond circumstances. An attitude beyond circumstances is the secret to the victorious life. This text is profound in many ways. Paul and Silas are treated unfairly. I mean, all they did was come to town and set some girl free, except there were people basically in slave trade, and they had her enslaved to make money. And apparently they made a lot of money with their fortune telling. She was demonized. They're not excited that she gets set free. They're angry now. They're angry that their hope of making money is gone. The girl is set free, but their hope of making money is gone. I need to stop and say this. There is demon power that can even manifest real miracles and words that might seem like they're from the Lord. This slave girl said, why would the enemy do that? Doesn't he just lie all the time? Oh, no. He mixes things with half-truths. So when you go to the palm reader, by the way, I don't suggest you do it. I've done it. I don't suggest you do it. All right? In fact, I'll tell you, don't do it. Everybody say, Pastor said, don't do it. Okay, don't do it. However, being a risk taker, and a number of years ago, I had heard someone say this in a message, and I just wanted to see if it was true. If you're a spirit-filled Christian, you're walking with God, and you hand your hand over to a palm reader, they'll usually yank their hands back if they're really operating by a demon spirit. I tried it. They didn't yank their hands back. I figured they were false. They were just faking it. Then I didn't let them read my hand either. You don't need it. And the reason people go to palm readers is because there's not someone who can hear the word of the Lord for them, and they don't have a relationship with Jesus. So they look and read astrology charts to try to figure out their future. That's wrong, and it'll open up a gateway to the demonic. And I would highly advise you don't do that. But they're making money off of this girl because she could read the future by demon power. And there is demon power. Why would Satan release demon power that's helpful, like bring healing or encourage people with maybe some future, so he can hook you a little bit deeper and take you all the way down to the pit where he's going to live forever with one angel comes with one chain, wraps it around his ugly, and throws him in there. Paul and Silas are treated unfairly. All they were doing was setting people free, and they get totally persecuted for it. They're openly humiliated. They're beaten. I mean, we just rip right through it, but I mean, can you imagine? I don't know if you've ever been persecuted. It's not somebody cut you off because you have a fish on the back of your car. I mean, like real persecution. I don't know if you've experienced that before. And instead of complaining and murmuring, getting angry, they don't do any of that. Now, do you find that shocking? It is sort of shocking in this day and age, because it just seems when somebody feels like their rights are, they're taking advantage of their rights, that they just freak out. There's all kinds of people that are upset, offended. They're offended at the government. They're offended at Christianity. They're offended at anything. They came out of the womb offended. They're not offended. It's amazing to me. They're beaten. All they're doing is serving God, and they're not offended. And they don't grumble, and they don't complain. What do they do instead? They have worship service. They pray, and they sing hymns, and they demonstrate the power of worship. The key to winning, the key to victory is in your attitude. Recently, I was talking with somebody, and they said, just had such a horrible day. I'm just so angry. I'm like, I just said, well, tell me what was really so bad? Oh, this happened and that happened. I'm just thinking, maybe you need to open your eyes a little bit. Like, are you really suffering? I told this story this morning. I was grumbling years ago. I was grumbling. I was in Chile. And we had a, I don't know, I think it was a 14-hour day of ministry. I think I preached three times, prophesied over a couple hundred people. I mean, I felt like I was standing on bloody stumps. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm like, I'm done. But I wasn't done. They sent me to one more extension. I'm like, yay, let's go have revival. I wanted to go to bed and jet lagged. We go to the extension, I'm there, I preach, and they asked me to prophesy over everybody in the church. Well, the word I had, I was pretty sure I didn't want to give anybody. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't have the word of the Lord. I was done. I mean, I was done. And I looked at Pastor Italo. I said, Pastor Italo. He said, you're not doing it. I said, amen. And so he told them, no, no, no. And right at that moment, as service ended, we preached, God touched people, service ended, and instantly the whole sanctuary transforms into a massive birthday party for the pastor. And it was amazing, but I thought I was gonna die. My head was just doom, doom, to my head's pounding. I'm on bloody stumps. It was a wonderful time of rejoicing with the pastor. It was his birthday, and I couldn't function. They didn't know that, but I just couldn't function. So I turned to the Lord. I said, God, I'm suffering. Lord. And he spoke to me. He said, oh, are you really? I said, not really. Listen, some of you go through things and you're like, oh, give me a break. There's people that are like burning at the stake. There's people being really persecuted. Someone cut you off because you have a Christian bumper sticker. Get a grip. You have first world problems. You know what first world problems are? When your batteries run out in your remote control. That, oh God, oh, Daniel. Do we have batteries? I don't know. I think Mom bought some. Karen, where? And then you don't even get up. I'm talking about myself. You push the back off of the thing. You roll the batteries. And you get a few more channels out of it. Glory to God. And then you're like, thank you, Jesus. Devil, I bite you now. Can I tell you something? The devil is in your attitude. Can't believe Patrick Karen, you didn't get. I told you AAA, not AA. It's AAA. So I gotta go to the store. Now I gotta get in my air-conditioned car or my heated car and drive 7 minutes to Fred Meyer's and get some batteries. Give me a break. We're so blessed in this nation. We're so blessed. Most of you ate today unless you're fasting. Maybe some of you should have fasted. Let's move back. Let's move back. What could have been their response? I can't believe all I did was try to spread the gospel. I went on this missions trip, and then here I am in jail. God, what the heck? Heck's not a curse word, Pastor Karen. I only say biblical curses. It's the only kind of cursing I do. They could have been angry at God. Have you ever gotten angry at God? Sir, it's the wrong guy to get angry at. They could have blamed God. Go to Numbers, book of Numbers, chapter 16. They could have blamed God because God's the one that basically sent them to the city, so they could have blamed God. They could have got angry. In Numbers chapter 16, let's pay close attention to this. If that's Jesus, just let them know I'm... talk with them after. But the very next morning, Numbers 16, verse 41. But the very next morning, the whole community of Israel began muttering or complaining against Moses and Aaron, saying, you've killed the Lord's people. As the community gathered to protest against Moses and Aaron, they turned towards the tabernacle and saw the cloud had covered it. And the glorious presence of the Lord appeared. Moses and Aaron came and stood in front of the tabernacle, and the Lord said to Moses, get away from all of these people so that I can instantly destroy them. Wow. Moses and Aaron fell down to the ground. Moses said to Aaron, quick, take an incense burner, place burning coals on it from the altar, lay incense on it, and carry it out among the people to purify them and make them right with the Lord. And the Lord's anger is blazing against them, and the plague has already begun. Verse 47, Aaron did as Moses told him. Now, this is a picture of murmuring, a picture of complaining, and a picture of the sanctifying power of intercession. It's a picture of prayer. Incense, when related to, you look at the book of Revelation, prayer. Prayer can intervene and change a murmuring grumbler. But grumbling and murmuring and complaining can literally release a destroying angel on you. Angel as in demon. The destroyer is a demonic entity. So that's like the Old Testament. Okay, Einstein, why don't you go to 1 Corinthians and let me just put the nail in the coffin for you right there. Okay, because this is 1 Corinthians 10:10. These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil as they did or worship idols as some of them did, as they did. As the scripture says, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulge in pagan revelry. We must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and died from snake bites. And verse 10, the key verse that relates specifically to number 16. And don't grumble or murmur, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the angel of death. Verse 11, whatever version you have, read it out loud. Ready, set, go. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. It's a warning. So the Old Testament, a picture book of New Testament reality, the Old Testament is this story here in Numbers 16, and it cited some other stories. But specifically the grumbling thing, they're murmuring. Some of you need to repent right now. I already did before I got in the pulpit, so I'm good. Amen. Some of you were murmuring. Oh, I can't believe the Oh, the church. Oh, my employer. Oh, my husband. Oh, my wife. Oh, that guy cut me off. Oh, that's not fair. Oh. God, do you even know where I am? God, do you love me? God, grumbling. And you know what you're doing is you're opening a door. I should say it this way. It's more gracious. I'm working at that. Anybody else working at being more gracious? It potentially can open a door to basically destruction. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, James says. So they didn't complain against God. Back to the book of Acts. Paul and Silas, but we do. We should not, because it's not good. Where our attitudes slide. It was God's power that was put on display that got them in trouble, so they could have got angry, could have got bitter, could have got mad about all that. They could have been embittered by racism. These Jews. Don't look at me like that. This was probably next to Harvard somewhere. That's a modern joke. It's not funny. Harvard used to be a tremendous training place for pastors. It was made to train men of God, women of God. Well, probably not women back then, but it was made to train servants of the Lord, preachers. It was a seminary that became a cemetery, and now it's a bastion for insanity. I'm sure there's some good apples in there, but the kind of anti-Semitism that's being spewed out at all the major universities, it's interesting that they have all the same tents. Seems to be funded by same group, and I'm sure people are studying that now. It's racism, anti-Semitism, these Jews. I remember years ago, I was riding with Pastor Vince, and somebody from the South was riding with us who have remained nameless and told a black joke in the van where we were riding. I wanted to punch his face. And I watched how you, like, let that roll off you like water off a duck's back. I suspect you have had practice. Because what's the options, Pastor Vince? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to get all embittered and ruin your life with bitterness and anger and hate and then just become, you know, go after every racist? You can do that? He's not. He's a man of God, woman of God, but you all been through some things. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying it's racism is out there. You're going to have to turn the other cheek. You're going to have to get through it. You're going to have to get over it. And it's wrong, and it should be called out. But at the same time, don't let it ruin your life. Does it look like he's been ruined? The only black couple in the island of Kauai for like for 25 years. No, really, like they're the first black people that ever went to Kauai. I don't know. That's true. I don't know if that's true. You used to get together with Kathy, and she'd make that pot roast. Man, make you want to slap your own mom. Racism is real. They could have been angry. They don't like us because we're Jews. Yeah, that racism is real. And they don't get bent. They don't destroy their lives through anger and resentment. Raise your hand if you've ever been persecuted because of your race. I didn't like it. It took me, yeah, come on, brother. It took us years before we did experience that. And I got a good taste of it. Didn't like me because I was white, period. That's it. It was the only white people in our church all those years ago. We prayed in some more crackers right after that and just God held it. Dude, that's hysterical. What are you talking about? Listen, like, bump your neighbor and say, lighten up. Let's all praise God for a second. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. It's actually a horrible term. It's a horrible term. It comes from being a whip, the cracker of the whip. It's a horrible, horrible term, but also true. They got it because they did it. Not everybody, that's right, Pastor Karen. But I know what it is to be persecuted for being white. And I had to process that. And they had to, they could have been embittered because of racism. They could have been embittered because of unfair treatment. They didn't do any of that stuff. And then never mind, if you go and look at the torture they went through, this is for setting someone free, okay? It's not like they're dealing drugs. They went and they set somebody free for the Lord. They went and brought the gospel, power God, signs and wonders, miracle, a riot. They're persecuted. They're thrown in prison. I will tell you, whenever there is an outpouring, there's always a riot of some sort. A Holy Ghost riot, people filled with joy and all kinds of testimonies and breakthrough, and a whole other group of people that are just driven by dark power, resentment, and anger, and they hate it. They hate people getting set free. They hate it. It's always what happens around the world that's what happens. Is that happening now? Of course it is. I don't even read the stuff on Facebook. Let's let the Lord sort it out. A fool answers a fool in his folly. I am not a fool, and I'm not going to answer fools. They can just chatter on all by themselves, and we'll let the Lord sort it all out. And I'm going to keep my heart right. Come on. Come on, say, I'm going to keep my heart right. Yeah, and they do that. They could have allowed physical pain. Go look at the torture that they went through as we move on. The torture of the rods, they were beaten with rods. That is a specific kind of torture, and it is absolutely excruciating. They're in the inner prison. They're tortured, they're in the stocks. The inner prison is not a, it's not a clean place. They could have been given to despair. They could have, maybe they could have tried to take their own lives. They didn't do any of that. What was their response? It wasn't to murmur. It wasn't to complain. It didn't get embittered. They didn't get angry at God. They didn't get angry at anybody. They started worshiping God. Now, why is that? It's because they understood that God has the power to change it all. And they understood that God is good and the devil is bad. Their response, they prayed. They prayed. They prayed and they sang hymns. I mean, what's that like? Hey, that back hurts. My back hurts too, Paul. Well, Jesus, you're amazing. I was a murderer, but you set me free. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. And I, come on, sing with me, silence. Lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. I could be in hell, but I'm not. Rejoice, take joy, my King. Woo! In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. You hear something, silence? Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. And God came, and there started to be an earthquake. And before you know it, everything broke off, and they got totally set free. They did not get set free because they murmured and they complained. They got set free because they prayed and they worshiped. If you too would start to pray and worship in the midst of your difficulty, the midst of your circumstances, if you'll begin to pray and worship, you will see an earthquake of God's power. And he will set you free and everybody that's watching. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, oh, I'm going to stop complaining. How about you? They didn't allow their personal difficulties and circumstances to overwhelm them. Now, I've been in some situations that is very overwhelming and difficult. They leaned on and leaned into their relationship with God, who can raise the dead and change everything. How many of you are going through something right now? Keep going through and lean on the one who can change the water into wine. Lean on the one. My God, dare we go there, Pastor Vince. Put your hand in the hand of the man, wield the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the sea. Differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. You guys don't know that song? Come on, some of you Jesus people, where are you? Raise your hand, you know that song. All right, that's from the 70s. Let me go ahead and look it up. Go ahead, look it up. Look it up on Spotify. Put your hand in the hand of the man, heal the waters. Okay, let's move on. They prayed, they sang hymns. They didn't allow their personal difficulty to hinder their relationship with God. You know what you do with your personal difficulty? For one, ask whether it's your stupidity that puts you in that place. That's a good question. Did I do this to myself? Now, I don't know how the Lord talks to you, but how he talks to me is like, yes, you did. And then I say, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Can you get me out? And he say, yes, I will. All right, but there are some consequences. And he brings me through. Other times you go through difficulties you had nothing to do with. You live in a fallen human world. Or maybe you misread somebody. You didn't discern them right, and you're yoked with someone who's a pain in the neck. That's pretty good, yoked with someone who's a pain in the neck. That's a biblical pain in the neck. When you go through things, look at God's opportunity. It's an opportunity from God to turn things around to see a great breakthrough. That's what happens in this text. And don't tell me it can't happen with you. I've lived too long, seen too much. Every difficulty, every problem, every struggle we've ever faced, God has turned it and spun it on the devil's head, or turned it around and taught us something, or turned it for good. He will always turn it for good. I want you to say that. He will always turn it for good. If I love God, he'll turn it for good. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good, G. It's all good. Well, I ain't G. I am OG, apparently. That's what my son-in-law calls me, OG. I think it's original gangster. Pastor Karen says, it's not original gangster, it's old guy. It is not old guy. My God, Pastor. Pastor Karen, what is going on here today? Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. That's hysterical. Go ahead, get it out. You can laugh. It's okay. Hallelujah. What am I talking about? Oh, yeah. Romans 8:28, and we know that God works together, all things together for the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. It's not all good, and he doesn't turn it all good for everybody. He turns it all good for the one who loves God and prays and takes a stand. Then it can be horrible, and it can be difficult, and it can be sorrowful, even though even weeping can endure for a night, but joy comes in the and it's morning somewhere. It's morning somewhere. How many of you know that? I know it's evening here, but if it's morning somewhere, God can turn it around. Quit belly aching and partnering with the devil. Quit letting the devil rent your mouth. The only way the devil can speak is by using your mouth. Don't lend it out to him. I mean, it's crazy here. They rejoice that they could suffer God. You see that? They're like, woohoo, we got to suffer for Jesus. Where is that? Where is that attitude? I've told this story many times before. Going door to door in Kahului, Maui. And I don't know, it's probably 31. And going door to door and inviting people to church, praying for people, handing out tracts. And I get to this one particular place, and I walk to the door. I knock on the door. This guy almost rips the door off the hinges, cursing at me. What the bird? What are you doing? Get off my porch! So really aggressive. And I said, hey man, I just want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He's like, shut up! I'm like, yeah, well, he does, though, and he loves you. And I just, you know, I probably should have turned. And anybody gone door to door? Okay, so I've probably been like, okay, I'm fading. But I don't know. I've sort of had my feelings hurt by the way he was cursing at me, and I just kind of wanted to give him Jesus a little bit. You know what I mean? Anybody know what I mean? Okay. He opens the door and goes, spits in my face. Whack, right here. And when he spit in my face, listen, I wasn't always saved. Now, I know some of you, like, you've been walking on water and everything's awesome. You're just so filled with the mercy of God. I wanted to beat the fool out of him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm like, oh, I'm going to beat you now. I mean, that's how I felt. But instead, what came out of me, and this is one of the proofs that I knew that it was spirit-filled, I have this thing that hits my eye, and I said, God bless you. God bless you, dude. God bless you. And I walk off. I wipe this thing. I'm like, no type C, no type C. Oh, I'm not getting type C. Or anything else. I wipe it out of my eye. I'm walking down the street, and I'm overwhelmed with incredible rejection. I mean, like a sorrowful rejection. It hits me in a place where I just felt unaccepted and unworthy, and I wasn't healed in that place. And I start weeping. And I'm walking past the houses I'm supposed to go to, and I'm walking. And the Lord spoke to me. I was memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord spoke to me out of the Sermon on the Mount. And said, blessed are you when people persecute you for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. I'm like, I got spit on. And I hear it again. Blessed are you when people persecute you for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. I'm like, well, sir, don't real blessed me. don't feel too blessed with it. Type C. And then I hear, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. And the prophets were the same way, were persecuted. I'm paraphrasing. And I thought, rejoice. I'm walking. Rejoice. Yay. I did a sarcastic, oh, I know you guys are more spiritual than me. I'm sure. I'm like, huh. And I just felt like that was almost mocking God. Sorry. And so I just did a sincere 5%. Thank you. And when I did that, I felt this, I thought, ooh. So I did a 15 or 20% or after that. I said, thank you that I got to get persecuted for your sake. And the power of God started coming on me. And I said, oh, thank you. Thank you that I got to suffer a little bit of suffering for Christ. And the fire of God hit me, blasted all of my pity party off. And I got totally touched by the Spirit of God, was dancing on the side of the road rejoicing. I went to hit other houses and people got saved and I moved on. If you will learn to change your attitude, to shift the way you think about things, shift the way you think about your money, shift the way you think about your emotions, change the way you think about your kids, change the way you think about your wife, your husband, change the way you think about the government. Worst country in the world. I can't believe the United States. I got news for you, Bubba. Go try some other country and you'll find this country's still pretty good. There's a lot of great things in our country. Yeah, we got problems, but if God can get some people to pray, if God can get some people to sing, if God can get some people to turn their attitudes and get involved, then we can turn this country around. I totally believe that. They rejoice that they can suffer. Come on, all across this place, rejoice for just a minute. Hey, is that all you got? Is that all you got? You were going to hell. I mean, seriously. Is that it? Come on. You were going to a devil's hell. You were broken. You were destitute. You were addicted. You got set free. You were blind as a bat, broken in your emotions. Come here. Lift your hands. You're hearing rightly. Be encouraged. Be strengthened with might. Right now. You're hearing God. Perfectly. Well, that would not be a biblical statement. No one hears perfectly. We all hear in part. He's leading you. He's guiding you. Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Come on, thank him one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, online. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Lift your hands online. Start worshiping God. Come on, thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. You're here in your right mind, most of you. Come on, God's helped you. And if you're not in your right mind, keep coming. What's the result of them having a good attitude? What's the result of them responding right? What's the result of them praying and singing hymns instead of being they had everything to complain about. They didn't do it. They didn't get angry. Racism, all of that. They had every excuse. They didn't do any of it. They prayed. They worshiped. What's the result? The result is they all got freed from prison. And you too will be freed from prison if you'll just praise him. From prison to praise. It's a great book. If you will praise him in the midst of your difficulty, you will find your mountain becomes a molehill, and he'll anoint you, he'll release power and authority, he'll give you wisdom, but if you partner and complain and murmur, you don't have any of those promises. You have a promise of a death angel, according to the word of God. Others are freed from their chains. That's also amazing to me. So that means Paul and Silas, come here, Silas. So here we are. You ready? All right. Here we are. I worship you, Almighty God. There is. So all we are is singing and worshiping God. And if you were all the prisoners, now none of you are prisoners, don't receive that right now. All the prisoners are set free because we're worshiping and singing, thank you. Because our attitude shifted, everybody that's watching is affected. And I'm telling you, people are watching you. Oh, is your God so great? Come on, what happened to your God just being the great God? And now you're murmuring, complaining, and cursing, and you're back to smoking weed. Oh, did that sting? Stick around. It's legal. Yeah. It's still wrong. It's intoxication. Intoxication's wrong. Period. I said intoxication is wrong. Do not be drunk with wine. Is drinking wine wrong? No, unless you get intoxicated. Having a glass of wine is not wrong unless you're getting intoxicated. Now, for me, my house, leaders in this church, we don't drink anything. I drink no wine, no alcohol. The only beer I have is when it's on beer batter halibut and somebody else makes it because I don't want to be accused of buying it down at Fred Meyer's. And I love me some good beer batter halibut. Just go over some pagan's house who drinks a lot of beer and eat that. Come on, lighten up for God's sake. Getting drunk is the issue. I love Wednesday nights. Isn't this fun? Are you guys having fun? Bump your neighbor and say, are you a pagan? Go ahead, ask. Getting drunk is the issue. And with weed, oh, we had one of your great testimonies. It's only 8:26. Lighten up. There's nothing on YouTube that you can't watch later. One of our pastors in Oroville, California, they had the highest amount of people in church that they've ever had. I think it was 56 people. It's a new, brand new church plant, pretty new, year old. About 56 people. It's in Oroville needs a move of God. Oroville's a pretty rough place. And this guy gets touched by God, gives his heart to Jesus, and tells Pastor Josh there, Hendrickson, he said, I gotta get rid of my weed. She's like, no problem. We're going to get rid of it. We'll flush it together. I think he was going to send me the link. I wish he did. Wouldn't that be fun to put that up on the screen right now? Maybe we'll do that Sunday. So the guy, you know, everybody leaves. They close. Everybody leaves. It's just him and the pastor and the pastor's wife, Amanda. And the guy, like, goes and gets his bag of weed. Well, it's like 3/4 of a pound. It's like 3/4 of a pound of weed. And it's not the, you know, the dirtiest Colombian that they had back in the 70s. It's this crazy crippler stuff that really, like, I mean, you can't have like a sip of wine and not get drunk. I think you can. This stuff, no. I think if you smell it, I think you get high. I mean, it's crazy. Brings 3/4 of a pound and they're flushing it down the toilet, you know, hoping it doesn't clog. And it fills the whole church with the smell of weed. And so the pastor's wife comes out and says, what in God's name's going on out here? That's revival. When people take 3/4 of a pound of weed and they flush it down the toilet, that is revival. Are you guys all right? Everybody's like, what's that smell? I don't know. Let's move on. Listen, the truth is, you're going to have people that come into this place and they're drinking and getting drunk every night, every other night. They're going to church on Sunday, but they partied on Saturday. You'll have people coming in from every walk of life, every ethnic background. You'll have people smoking weed. There's people that'll come that are shooting heroin. There's people that are coming that are doing all kinds of stuff, addicted to pornography. That I'm so glad, because when you come, you taste and see that the Lord is good, and you'll never go back like a dog to the vomit. You'll get set free from that thing. You can be free from addiction. You can be free from your rage. You can be free from alcohol. You can be free from weed. You can get free from your perversion and your chronic issues. You can be free. I said you can be free. It is God's will for you to be free, not to be bound by anything. So their attitude is right. People are freed. They're freed from prison. Others are freed from prison. And then they're used as a witness. Now, this is interesting. As I'm bringing this to a landing, could I have Brother Keyes? Thank you so much. They had to call for lights, right? It's pitch black. How does the Apostle Paul know that the guard is going to kill himself because he's in the inner prison? I suppose he knew a little bit about Roman soldiers, that they're going to be killed anyway, and it's a disgrace, and then he would fall on his own sword and kill himself, I suppose. But I think he had a word of knowledge. And I think the guard probably was like, what? Don't harm yourself. We're all here. I think he had a word of knowledge. And he comes and he witnesses to the, how, what must we do to be saved? Such, their attitude was so beautiful before God. A display of God's power as a result. How many of you know they're not going to have no earthquake and chains falling off with a stinking attitude? God showed up, and as a result, the guard's like, I want to know what you have. I want to be saved. That is a powerful witness. All because it all started with a good attitude, with a proper perspective on life. Well, I know you're going through difficulty. Everyone is, some degree or another. Let the Lord train your hands for war. Learn to overcome. Take every thought captive and make it obedient. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Don't line your thinking up with the demonic. Don't get over into belly aching and complaining and murmuring. Quit sedating yourself with weed or sex, music, retail therapy. That's when you buy stuff so you feel better. Quit doing things to get you in a place that's numb, anesthetizing yourself through pornography, perhaps. Or, I mean, you just fill in the blank. I remember a long, long, long time ago, long before I met Pastor Karen. This must be for someone, because I have not had this memory for decades. I had lost everything but my life. I had Christ, was divorced. I got saved after I was divorced, lost two daughters, that one day they'll be restored. I pray every day for that. Hasn't happened yet. Going on 30 years. There's 35, I think 36. I could do the math. I can't even remember my own birthday, so if you're watching, sorry. I thought it was 58, but actually I'm 57, so anyway, good news. I had the contents of everything I owned backed up and dumped in front of my house by a moving company. And I wanted to die, but I had been born again. And I went inside the house and I'm just thinking, okay. And I just wanted to go do some of the things that I did previous to take away the pain. And the Lord says, stop, son. Just start singing. Just started singing. Just call on me. I'm like, I don't want to. I want to go back to the old thing. It works. Temporarily. And you wake up, or you're dead, or you're in jail, or you've hurt other people, and it doesn't really work. It's just half works. It's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit of the power of God that wants to come on you in your time of trouble and woe. And so I just felt like I was just a little kid who's going to let me go. But he said, just stay still. I felt like I just needed to get on my knees, and I got on my knees. I started worshiping. I just wept, weeping and weeping. The contents of my life just totally destroyed. I have no future that I knew of. What can you ever do with me? I'm in my mid-20s. I've blown everything. Lost everything. Can you just kill me right now? There's no life after this. I mean, that's how I felt. Don't raise your hand. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Many times I would see dark figures and hear voices. Many, many, many times. Regularly. I didn't even know there were demons till after I gave my life to Jesus. And I started realizing, hey, that's weird. I said, oh, those are demons. Those are demons. Then I started telling them to take a hike. Things got better. I'm on my knees and I'm weeping and I'm singing. And like hot oil came from heaven. And all my pain left me and my sorrowful heart lifted. And he just started telling me how much he loved me. It's going to be all right. You don't have to smoke that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to run. I've got you, son. I've got you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You're mine. I've carved you in the palm of my hand. Don't worry. Don't fret. I'm gonna turn it all for good. Just stay right here. The secret place. How did David find protection in the secret place? The secret place is a place of prayer. Some of you don't go there, but there's secrets waiting for you if you do. There's power, chain-breaking power, if you do. There's deliverance for you and your marriage and your children and your family. So they were used to bring God's kingdom into a prison. And the jailer gets saved, and the whole household gets saved. And if you read that, for all of you that are concerned about time, I don't mean necessarily tonight, I'm just saying, sometimes things are very inconvenient, like at midnight is when they started the worship service. How long did they worship for? We do not know. But I would say it's a good hour, maybe. They didn't have watches like we have. So maybe, okay, maybe the Lord hurried up and came with it by 12:30. We don't know, but the Lord eventually comes. But it's like 12, okay, it's 12:30. Earthquake, everybody's free. So what time is it now? I don't know. Everybody's freaking out. It's got to be 12:45 in the morning, right? Am I right? You know, guesstimate. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. Let's keep moving towards 1. Guy gets born again. It's going to be like 1:15. Prayed for him. Cast the devil out of him. You and your whole household is going to be saved. Where's your household? Other side of town. Let's go. It's 1:15. It's 1:30 in the morning now. They go to the other side of town. They go to his house. Well, it's probably a 20-minute walk. I don't know. It's 2:00 in the morning. 2:00 in the morning. Now everybody in the house will get the kids up. It's 2:00. Do you should be sleeping? The kids need to sleep. Oh, do they really? Do they really? Oh, I know kids need to sleep. I'm just saying sometimes God moves in power and it's nothing to do with your schedule. And you need to toss your schedule because it's in that place that God will manifest his power. This set me free when I was reading. I thought, oh, I need to not be so uptight. Don't worry. I'm not going to midnight to prove a point. I'm almost done. Kids get saved. Well, now we baptism. We're going to find some water. And they didn't fill their bathtub because they didn't have plumbing like that, I don't think. Not running water. They had to go and get water, maybe go to the well. They had to go find some water, and they all got baptized. So what time is it now? 3. So it's time for a good breakfast, right? So they eat. Maybe the orders. I mean, I'm just spitting this out. You can go look at it. Maybe they ate first, but I forget. So it's at 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. I don't know. It's probably 6:00 when they realize that the prison, they did an all-nighter. And God released authority. They understood their authority as citizens of Rome. And I will tell you that we need to understand our authority. Quit grumbling about the school board and put your name in for the school board. Quit grumbling about things and get involved in the answer. We used to do something in staff. We haven't done it in a while, but we started it right now. Here we go. We're starting it again. You have a problem, bring me 3 solutions. We used to do that. Oh, we got this thing. What are the 3 answers to that? Do that with your staff too. Look to God. What are the 3 solutions? You pray. Get the answer. Release breakthrough. Don't be a Monday morning quarterback. Oh, they should have run Marshawn. I'm still scarred from that Super Bowl. In fact, I stopped watching Super Bowls when they didn't run Marshawn Lynch of the Seahawks across the line and threw it and got intercepted or whatever. I don't even know what, I got scarred. Lord, heal me now, Jesus' name. They were given authority to demand the officials to escort them back to prison. I'm closing with this. God has given you tremendous authority in prayer and worship. And that will manifest in your life supernaturally, in your emotions, and in the natural earthquakes, signs, wonders, provision. Most people hearing this message will not push themselves away from their midnight snack, which is a half a chocolate cake. You find comfort from the half a chocolate cake instead of getting on your face at midnight until God shows up. We have so many things that want to dilute us and pull us aside and get us off track or get on Facebook or try to get somebody that's got some wisdom. You know who's got the greatest wisdom? The Lord God Almighty has the greatest wisdom. And I'm all for wisdom and a multitude of counsel. But if you'll put aside the chocolate cake and go after God, you just might see chains fall off. You just might see, oh, it'll be something like that. I promise you, God inhabits the praises of his people. He promises. And when you lift up his name, he will come and he will shake what can be shaken. And he's going to release faith in this house, faith in the church, so that people can then get involved and turn our nation around. We need to turn our nation around with God-given, blood-bought authority. You have it. Use it. You know how you know somebody has authority? They use it. Use your authority in prayer. Use your authority. Use it. Get involved. Vote. We need a voting station. Mayor. We got to set that up. There's a lot of people not registered. We got to become an official voting station somehow. CJ, hurry up. Get to work. I'm so thankful for a people. They'll cry out to God and see a shaking. We're able to be a part of this strong church. It didn't happen by accident. It happened by multi-generations of people learning to lay down their attitude, pick up their cross and follow him, and declare the plan of God for generations. We just have to be recipients of the ones that we're standing in right now. Should the Lord tarry, Karen and I will go on to be with the Lord, and a whole nother generation will rise up. I have no intention of going early. I have every intention of going in full strength, or he's going to split the eastern sky and call us home. I don't know how it's going to work. Lift your hands to heaven. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We will not bow down to the difficulty and the challenges and get a bad attitude. If you have a bad attitude tonight, change right now. Just repent.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.